Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Writing the Rapids, the show where I, Joe Bilecki, talk to writers about writing. Very often, those writers have been recommended to me by writers who have previously been on the show, or it's a rejoinder episode, which this is. Kat Giordano was born in Philadelphia, and it's been downhill ever since. They've written 3 poetry collections, Tell Me You've Earned It from Godpile Press, The Poet Confronts Bukowski's Ghost from Philosophical Idiot, and Thumbsucker from Malarkey Press, which we are talking about today. They've also put out one novel, The Fountain, from 30 West Publishing, and they also run the once-defunct, now-not-defunct literary website, Vanity, at vanitypress.co, and can be found all over the internet as at G-I-O-R-D, Kat, and at katgiordano.com. Before I get into my conversation with Kat, how about I tell you how you can support the show? Patreon.com/noisemakerjoe is the place where you can give me $2 a month and you'll get these episodes about a day earlier than everybody else. You can also buy my book. It's called Tired. You can buy a portion of that book as well as lots of other pieces of writing and art from the collection Unheimlich from Soyos Books, or you can just rate the show 5 stars wherever you listen to it, tell a friend about it, post about it on social media, etc. Now, without further ado, let's get into my conversation with Kat.
As I was going through the book, and this is something that with anything confessional poetry or adjacent, I've always tried to find a way to word the question in such a way that it comes off as like admiration, and I've never felt confident about doing it, but then I got to word salad and I was like, okay, yeah, no, this is kind of like what I'm talking about, where it's like how does one find the courage to say things so plainly sometimes? Like even in poetics, it's language heightened a little bit often, or sometimes I suppose lowered depending on the poet. But sometimes it's so plain. But Word Salad was a piece that was really like, okay, yeah, no, this is, I think I understand how you can do it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I've been thinking a lot about, I mean, I think since the last time we talked, I mean, I've been thinking a lot about what it means to be confessional in your writing and, you know, the ways that that's both, like, it's liberating, but you also have to be careful it's not like a stand-in for, like, actually liberating yourself. And so sometimes I feel like that's a fine line for me where, like, I don't know if I'm even responding to what you said, but like, this is just what it made me think about. There's this compulsiveness to it, I think, where like you're trying to like, you're just so overwhelmed by the fact that like your interiority isn't accessible to other people, that it's like this kind of like gnawing, like I don't want to be the only person who has this because what am I supposed to do with it? And yeah, that can be liberating, but it's also like it doesn't stand in for the work of actually understanding yourself, and it doesn't stand in for the work of making yourself understood. It's just kind of like, or it can be just kind of like dropping a rat that you killed at your owner's feet or whatever. Like, And so, yeah, that's just something that's been on my mind a lot. And definitely I feel like what I was doing in Word Salad was like, I didn't write it even as a poem. It was just like a thing that I wrote, you know, a couple of years ago, and I just decided to throw it in there, and it felt right to throw it in there because I think it kind of like pulls the curtain back on like a lot of the stuff that I was saying and trying to say, and that I've been saying and trying to say for multiple poetry collections now. So yeah.
Yeah. To that point, I don't know. This I don't know. I suddenly felt really stupid about being like, what do you think is the thing you're trying to get across with Thumbsucker? But I don't know. I feel like I felt really uncomfortable having that question. I felt really dumb saying it. So you always can just be like, no, I don't want to talk about that. But I don't know. I think that's a good
No, yeah, I can answer that, or I can try to answer it, because you don't. I was saying this. I think I've said this elsewhere. Maybe I like wrote it in another interview or something. But like, it's almost like I wrote all these poems. Kind of, I wasn't writing a poetry collection. That's almost never how it's gone for mm-hmm. me. Like, aside from the collection I put out last year, where it was like very much like a contained project, it was just kind of like I wrote a bunch of stuff. And there's kind of this like trust the process that goes into writing confessional poetry, where like there is a through line, but the through line is kind of like if you trust enough that there's a narrative through line, or like that you're working through something, or that there's some kind of process going on internally in your life, then the through line kind of just emerges when you actually put the poems together. Maybe that's like delusionally optimistic of me, but like I kind of have this like delusionally optimistic narrative about life eventually just making sense. And I think that's also something that I kind of get out in the collection too. So maybe this is kind of like a meta conversation, but like it was more just like I wrote all of these poems during a specific period of time. And there was a time where I felt like I was doing a new thing, but I don't know what that new thing is yet. And one day I'll know what that is. So in terms of what I was trying to get across, I think it's just like an act of embracing, I don't know, just an act of embracing the self, an act of navel gazing, but in a way that's like celebratory and not dark and not, I mean, not sad.
Yeah.
But it's not sad about the fact that it exists. I guess is kind of what I'm trying to say. Sure. I don't know if that answers your question. Yeah. But
absolutely. So the first part of your answer was really interesting to me. Not going into, just writing poems to see what happens, right? And then noticing the through line as you're putting things together. Which I guess I'm still putting together, I guess, like how that works. So I imagine you're just like writing poems often, and then at some point you notice you have an amount of poems that you have enough to pick from to start putting something together. Okay, because the sort of other way that could happen is just be like, I'm gonna write 80 poems and then we'll kind of see from there what happens. But I guess either way, the same outcome could happen, where you're like noticing a through line. And then do you write more for the collection once you've kind of noticed what it is, to like fill in gaps or anything? No. Okay.
No, I didn't do that at all. I actually threw in a couple poems that were a little bit older, because I kind of noticed that they sort of fit. And they were ones that hadn't made it into a couple of the other collections, but I didn't go and like kind of further explore stuff I had already been writing about. But I did notice, because towards the end of the process of putting that manuscript together, there's like poems that get pulled, and then you like want to put other things into fill in the gap. That's kind of where I started to realize that the stuff I'm working on now is different, and it gave me a little bit more perspective on like the evolution of my work. So it's like almost the process of putting it together is how you understand what you're doing and how it's coming together as a project. It's I've never written a poetry collection that was like a, you know, like I went into it having like a concept or something. It'd be something cool to explore, but it's just hasn't happened yet.
Right. Yeah. In my here and there attempts at doing poetry, it generally in the past couple of years been like trying to iterate on a theme like specifically, right? I'm not so like, I don't know, poetry is not my like preferred writing technique. But at some point I kind of fell out of love with doing flash fiction, and poems are easy to just like get something done so you feel like you've accomplished something. And so lately there's been a lot of poems, because I don't feel like working on any of the novel ideas I have. But like to keep me focused, to keep me writing on something, I have to like name the Google Doc something and then kind of like use that as a lighthouse. So it's always interesting to talk to like real poets that are like actually doing the work of poetics every day or whatever.
Yeah, if you talk to any of those, let me know what they say.
I know. That's how I know, right? It's like a religious leader. You don't listen to any religious leader that tells you that they know what's going on. Because those are the people that are scamming you. Poets are the same way. If someone's like really secure and confident about being a poet, then they have nothing I want. So with confessional poetry, a lot of the sort of feelings I've had about it, and I guess kind of like the start of this episode was kind of around that too, where I kind of look at it as like a writer, where I'm like, could I write something like this? How would I write something like this? And this is kind of how I just go into all of my reading, from the perspective of like, how would I do this if I were doing this? And so confessional poetry has always been challenging for me in the way of being like, I need 16 different layers of irony and image and metaphor to like even hint at something, mostly because I'm a man and I don't want to like dig into the mushy gushy underbelly of my psyche myself. So putting it out there, you know, I can't lay it bare because it's still like got a chitinous mass around it. But today I was thinking about poetry and confessional poetry because my closest friends write a lot of confessional stuff and I've been reading a lot of confessional stuff. Some of my favorite poets are confessional poets. And I was like, does reading this make me a pervert? Is the act of reading poetry somehow perverted? It feels like it might be.
I hope so. Part of me hopes so. Like, it feels perverted to write it. So I feel like it's more like it's perverted to write it and publish it in the way that you're like, just like opening a trench coat in front of a bunch of human beings. And like, it's not your fault as the reader, I think.
Okay. That's interesting. I like that. Yeah. Just like, I don't know. Sometimes I don't go to a whole lot of open mic nights, but I feel like it would be really weird to like go to an open mic night and just be like, here is my trauma, strangers. And up next is a guy who's going to sing silly songs with an acoustic guitar. But yeah, I don't know. Like, there's something weird. And I guess because particularly confessional poetry is like obviously personal. But like reading sex scenes in poetry versus in a novel is so different for me. Like, even versus like a movie. Right. It's so different. It's so like, oh, now I have this knowledge about you that I need to be very cool about. which is interesting. And like, I guess going back to what you said about like, it's not enough to put it out there, but you have to kind of like be aware of what it is and what to do about it as the writer too. Yeah. I guess it was one of those questions, is reading poetry a perverse act? Is one of those questions that I knew the answer to, but I was hoping someone would be like, well, no, because, and then drop something on me that I hadn't considered.
No, I think it is. And I think, so I talked to my mom about this, weirdly enough. So right before the book came out, my family's really cool about supporting my work and that they'll like buy my books, but they probably don't read them. And I feel like that's very kind of them. Like, I feel like there's just this like tacit agreement that like, if you read it, we don't talk about it. And if you buy it and don't read it, that's cool. Like, I'm just happy that they think it's a legitimate thing that I'm doing. But I talked to my mom about this. And she was like, you know, I feel like reading your stuff would be like how the parents of the actors in 50 Shades would feel watching the movie. But I feel like it is almost worse than that.
Yeah.
Because it's, I feel like when the whole premise is that it's a person's interiority, like, yes, there's fictionalization there, and yes, there's like embellishment, like there's no real like authentic confession, you know, and that could be like a whole other 30 minute conversation, but like there is definitely still that, like, that conceit of like you're looking into someone's like mind, and there's no layer of artifice there where you're like, oh, they're actors, or like, oh, like this is coming from several different people's minds at once, or like it's a story or something. It doesn't really bother me to do that, because I think I kind of feel like that's just what everything feels like when I'm writing. Like when I wrote The Fountain and I had like, I don't know, pretty like not graphic stuff in there necessarily, but like it kind of went in a direction. It didn't feel any less weird to me than like writing about myself or some speaker that's basically myself. And I don't know why that is. I think it's just like, it's like an occupational hazard at this point almost. Like I'm just like, well, that's just like, it's kind of weird and we just live with it. That's how it works.
Sure. I guess, yeah. There's an amount of thick skin you need, I guess, to be an artist in general. And then it's just a matter of what you feel comfortable having picked apart. If you're going to write something really overwrought and purple and flowery and technical, then you have to be willing for people to look at the technicality of the writing and say it's not good enough sometimes. And if you write something really personal, then you have to be willing to have somebody look at it and just be like, no, this is not it.
And there is a degree of separation that you kind of have to create, even though it's kind of like not real, like it's kind of cope. Because there's something that happens with a lot of like open mics or workshops where people are writing like really confessional poetry or stuff that they're using to like work through trauma and stuff, where it's like you then can't really critique or comment on the piece as like a piece of art, because it feels like you're also making some value judgment about the person's like emotional experience. And like in order for like people's judgment or you know what have you of my work to not provoke that, you kind of have to like falsely create a sense of separation. And the thing that's always made that possible for me is time. By the time a book is put together and comes out and people start reading it, there is like, even though it's not the previous collection where there was like a solid like 5-year gap there, there's a little bit of time there. It's not like I just wrote it and it was sitting on my computer. It, you know, and then I just like sent it to someone. It's like I spent time editing it. We went back and forth. It was like put in a document, and all of those little steps that kind of transform it from just like something I wrote on my phone in bed to something that's in a book that's like purposely put there and purposely arranged in a certain way. It helps to create that type of separation, I think.
I gotcha. Lord help me if I start writing confessional poetry, though. What I find is that I am a mirror for the things that I like. And the more I get into this weird, like, mindset of I'm going to work hard to like everything I consume artistically, or at least find things within every piece of art that is worth liking, I find myself being drawn into dangerous waters sometimes. One of the things I'm curious about, and I don't know, this is the eternal like no answer question, but you talked about how in the, I don't know, it's not labeled acknowledgement section, but what would colloquially be known as the acknowledgement section, many of the original drafts of the poems originally appeared on Neutral Spaces. And so I'm wondering what editing looks like for you. I'm wondering if, like, when it's a bunch of poems just in the Notes app or Google Drive or whatever, if editing looks different than when you're putting the collection together, or if there's not necessarily like a framework or infrastructure there at all.
I think I've kind of created one over time. Like, it's not set in stone or anything, but a lot of my poetry does start in my notes app just because I work from home and sitting at my desk at my computer just is horrible. And I don't really want to, like, I can't get in the mindset of like, I'm doing writing here, that's fun. So it has to start somewhere else. And most of the time it starts on my phone. Occasionally I'll handwrite stuff just because it's easier for me to kind of like slow down. And it looks better, like it looks more real and not like something that's just that I'm just typing on my phone the way I would type a tweet. It kind of depends on where my head is at. But I don't typically like send something straight from my phone to like my email or something. I tend to go to my computer and retype it. And then in the process of retyping it, I do a lot of editing there. And a lot of that is just because things... It's like, I think poets say this all the time, like on Twitter, if they, once they put their poem in like Garamond or some, or one of those fonts that feels like it belongs in a book, it's like, oh, this is like, it raises the standard for what it is and also what it has to be. And I feel like in a similar way, when I'm typing stuff on my phone and then I like transfer it somewhere else, it's kind of like this, I don't know, like this pruning sort of process where like a lot of my editing is just removing stuff that is superfluous, or like I spend like four stanzas trying to get to the thing I'm actually trying to say. There's not a lot of editing that's like changing things, and there's not a lot of editing that's adding things. A lot of it's just cutting out garbage. And I feel like I've gotten better and better at cutting out garbage. And as a result, my poems have gotten shorter and shorter. They're even shorter now. But yeah, I guess the editing process is a lot of just like taking something from like word vomit to like what feels like a poem to me. A lot of that is presentation, honestly, but there's definitely some actual conceptual stuff that happens too.
That's so fascinating. I love hearing about people who work completely differently from how I do, because I love writing at work, because that's kind of like time theft. Right? It's like, you know, the toilet paper is not good enough to take home, so I got to do something. And writing a couple poems while I'm supposed to be sending emails feels pretty good sometimes. And then beyond that, I'm one of my friends recently taught me the term scaffolding. And that was really helpful for me. Mostly my prose work, because I can't write a poem that's more than like 20 lines to save my life. So it's fascinating to me to hear that your stuff is even longer.
I think the other part of it, like, it's not even just the scaffolding, but like I think sometimes I start a poem because I like have one particular line that I would like to use that I came up with. And by the time I finish writing the poem, it turns out that that line is garbage and I don't like it. And that was just needed to be there to get to some other thing. Like, I don't really feel often like I write poems with the thought in my head of like, I'm going to write about this thing. It's more like I'm going to write with this image, or like I'm going to use this line, and then I start to build around that. And sometimes the original foundation, actually often the foundation is gone by the time it's done and people actually read it. And I'm not really great at killing my darlings, but that's not even killing your darlings. It's kind of just like, there's like a vestigial like organ there that, you know, you just acknowledge that you don't need. I don't know.
Yeah. That's just cord cutting. That feels familiar to me, which I like. I don't know why I need your process to somehow match up to my process to feel better about my process. I feel good enough about my process. But yeah, no, that feels familiar, where it's, I don't even know how one would go about sitting down and saying, I'm going to write a poem about this feeling. I feel like that would be really challenging. You know, I feel like academic poets do that a lot. I feel like, I guess maybe it's starting with the image, but maybe sometimes it's something more real. Like, I feel like a lot of the academic poets that I encountered in college giving talks or whatever were like, oh yeah, no, I saw this like really absurd thing on the news, and so I decided to write about that. And I wonder if part of that is just like you are so entrenched in understanding craft at that like particular intellectual level that you can just turn it on and off really easy.
Yeah, I think it's that. And also, like, I mean, I do some of that, but it's more like those things just kind of get collected over time. And then I pull them out as I need them. Like, that's why after finishing writing a novel, I felt like I had nothing left, because there's all those little images and idiosyncratic things that, like, you know, you've like seen someone do or heard someone say, and then you just kind of pull them out, and I just kind of ran out of them. But I don't ever have, I don't really have one where it's like, this just happened and I'm going to write about it. It's more like, it, for me, especially because my emotions are so all over the place and I'm always kind of like going through it, as they say, it's kind of like, I don't really need to sit down and be like, I'm going to write about this feeling. It's like, they're there all the time. It's kind of just like, you know, the water that I'm swimming in. And so it's more like, that's just what's going to come out. It's just like a natural byproduct of sitting down to write anything, is that you kind of land on some kind of like emotional truth or underpinning to what you're saying. But I don't know. I think my process has also changed a little bit, because I think maybe when I was a little younger, I was doing a little bit more of like, I'm going to write about this. And I think it shows, not necessarily in a bad way, but I think there's definitely been a little bit of a shift there. So I don't know, maybe in a year I'll be saying something totally different.
Mm. Do you find that when you're editing, that the emotional state from the time of writing, that you get like pulled back to that, or does like wherever you're at as you're editing cause changes to happen to the poem?
I don't really think I get pulled back. I think I'm also very careful with editing, where I'm not like trying, especially because there's always a little bit of a time gap, where I'm not like trying to write the poem out right now and I'm like working with the poem that's in front of me. I don't really feel like I get pulled back there. I think especially lately, because I've been doing so many readings, like it's like the poems have taken, this is so whatever, they've taken on a life of their own, where it's like, yeah, I know that they're artifacts of a certain time and a certain emotional state, and they're very powerful in that way. But for me personally, like in the moment, it's just kind of like something that I read, and it doesn't really matter where it came from. There's like a weird paradox there where it's like, yeah, this is like my confessional poetry and this is like my soul or whatever, but it's also a thing that can exist, hopefully, totally separately from me. So I try to lean into that when it comes to reading and editing things after the fact.
Mm. Do you feel like understanding that has helped you like live throughout the day easier? Like, because then you can point to a uncomfortable feeling and just be like, yeah, well, this will just be yesterday's feeling tomorrow.
Yeah, that's just something that I think has gotten easier for me in general with time and age and working on my mental health. And I'm not sure if it's like getting there with poetry has helped me with that, or it's just kind of like a symptom, or there are two things that have kind of happened in tandem with one another separately. But definitely it's kind of the same thought of like, I know that everything is, I don't know, things feel very acutely important in the moment, and they aren't really, but also they are. It's, I don't know. It's kind of a, it's a paradox, I guess.
Yeah, certainly. I really appreciated the poem submission guidelines. 'cause I love making fun of lit journals out of love. Out of love, I love them, and everybody should keep doing what they're doing. And if you have the opportunity to give one some money, you should give one some money. I love the vibe at the beginning of it, and then how it kind of becomes more earnest throughout. Because that is how I feel about literary journals, where it's like on the surface, I'm just like, yeah, I don't know. It's, you know, it's bleeding big toe lit mag, and we want the most disgusting tear you've ever cried. I feel the same way about blurbs, right? Where it's just someone will say, oh man, if Kurt Vonnegut could read these poems, he would do something wacky. And you're like, I don't know if that's true, but okay. I feel like with writers, you know, anytime you get a chance to write anything, maybe you're just working on a new piece. I really appreciated that poem. I thought, is it simply called DM also? Yes, it is. Yeah. I really appreciated that one too.
Thank you.
And questions. This is just perhaps I will just say it's a good collection of poems.
Thank you. All right, we got that one out of the way.
We got it. Perfunctory. I don't know. I want to go off with you giving the last word, not me. But now I'm just flipping through the book again, and I'm just reading the poems. Because everyone's going to go off and on my recommendation by the collection now. What would you like them to keep in mind as they're reading?
I don't know. I guess if you read it and it makes you uncomfortable, thank you. But also, like, if you read it and it makes you uncomfortable, maybe, I mean this in the least confrontational way possible, maybe, like, take a second and then think about why that is or, like, what that... I don't know. I want people to be less allergic to sincerity, and I want people to be less worried about other people having strong feelings in front of them. And I don't know. I hope that it can be an exercise in that, maybe.